heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
As you study immigration and you look back over the last 20 years, last 10 years, it's striking to see not only the contrast in views on immigration and illegal immigration, and there is a difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration, even though these headlines have been hijacked. And it's mostly done so that they can confuse the public, I think. I think that's what the ultimate goal is. They're distractions, distraction politics. When you listen back to 2009, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, just listen to what he says in this message, and then listen to some of the recordings from Barack Obama in 2006, and then President Bill Clinton in 95, and even Hillary Clinton in 2003. Listen to these comments.
We are a nation of immigrants, and we should all be proud of it. But we're also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws.
Not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country.
Families who enter our country the right way and play by the rules watch others flout the rules.
People who enter the United States without our permission are illegal aliens, and illegal aliens should not be treated the same as people who entered the U.S. legally.
And because we live in an age where terrorists are challenging our borders, we cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked.
We've got to do several things, and I am, you know, adamantly against illegal immigrants. Certainly, we've got to do more at our borders, and people have to stop employing illegal immigrants.
And we're working to make sure that we have sufficient facilities to detain, house, and process them appropriately. And it is unlikely that their children will be able to stay.
What's happened in our country over the last 10 to 20 years that has changed the mindsets of the left, of the moderates, of the Democrat Party, if there are any moderates left there? You know, what's changed? Think about that a moment. Now, I just played that audio for you, those videos, and those are out there. You can listen to those. They're all over YouTube. They're all over radio. And you'll hear a lot of the history of our leaders and a lot of these people, Democrats, and what they said over the years. So why the opposing viewpoints now? What has happened in our country? What has happened that has changed the trajectory of all of this? I mean, clearly it's not history, looking at historically when you see what's happened again throughout the world and you see the migration of people. Clearly it's not looking at Europe and the plight of so many there and the plight of, and we're not just talking a problem of Mexico now. We're not just talking about Central America either, people. We're talking about Central Africa. We're talking about people coming from all over the African continent. That's a major crisis happening right now. They're coming from the Middle East, they're coming from Europe, and yes, they're coming from Central America. They're coming from all over. They're coming from all over the world to populate the United States of America. I've talked to you before about the brand that has been put out there, but it is striking. And I just cannot, for one, wrap my mind around why that difference in viewpoints, what has happened to Schumer, Obama, Clinton, and Clinton. What's taken place that has changed so much that you would think these people are a foreign species at this point, that they themselves are an alien of some sort, and they've been, something has been transposed in their bodies and their minds. Something has taken them over, potentially. Maybe they are the illegal aliens, potentially, huh? Just this past week, President Trump tweets out there, "If illegal immigrants are unhappy with the conditions in the quickly built or refitted detention centers, just tell them not to come. All problems solved!" Exclamation mark. Well, there's a lot in that tweet if you unpack that clearly. What the president is telling you is that they're moving quickly to build or refit these detention centers at the cost massive dollars to not just try to fit these centers quickly enough. And we'll talk about that today, the population explosion at the border, what's truly taken place there. And the numbers are staggering, and we'll get into that from the Border Patrol. We got stats and numbers on this, which are absolutely incomprehensible, what's happened over the period of 1 year, just 1 year, what's happened to our centers. So he's talking right there that, okay, we're moving as quickly as we can, conditions are not good, but why are conditions this bad? We've heard the word crisis being used for some time. We've heard the words manufactured crisis. We've heard the words humanitarian crisis. But what about the crisis for the American people? What about that crisis? What about the crisis for decent, loving American people who want to get on with their lives and not always be not only just fighting and discussing this immigration problem, but trying to solve the problem once and for all? What about those people? What about that crisis? I mean, if anything, to me, that's the real crisis, people. But where they've used the words now is the word crisis has been the constant throughout this. It's always been a crisis, I think you're going to see. But I think they continue to switch those front words of what kind of crisis it is. It's been Trump's crisis. It's been the president made it all up. You remember that. In fact, I remember that you've seen the videos even of Acosta from CNN going down at the border with the cameras, as so many of them have, by the way, on the left channels. And they go to a quiet spot on the border and then they make fun of it by saying, oh, nobody's here. Must be a crisis in his mind or something. There's a lot of those videos out there either. This is media propaganda that has been thrown out into the country to get as many Americans, to as many people to realize or to try to convince them that their reality is the reality they want you to believe, that there really is no crisis. Everything is peace and quiet at the border. And then you hear so many other things that have taken place. It's so many other distractive headlines. So when President Trump puts that tweet out, just tell them not to come. Well, I mean, he's talking about, again, a legal and an illegal immigration path that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And obviously, all problems solved. We're far from that, people. A tweet was put out on top of that. And you'll see the contrast in views here. Anna Prill is the Twitter name. She says, this makes me really sad. The lack of compassion he shows is terrifying. Agree or disagree with immigration laws, they are still human beings and should be treated as such. How does this make America great? So that is the different, that's the contrast in view of what the president puts out there. There is a part of the population who really do believe that open borders are the way to go and that compassion should be the order of the day. And Chuck Schumer comes out, he says, maybe at real Donald Trump should read the poem on the Statue of Liberty over the holiday. These are human beings coming to America in search of a better life. It's time he remembered what America was all about. Now, when I played that audio for you just moments ago, you can see that Chuck's opinions have changed dramatically. Something has happened to Chuck. Something, he's either hit his head, he's had amnesia over the years, he forgot, or again, some illegal alien force has taken over his body, potentially, and a whole lot of people it's taken over because their comments make no sense, people. If you look back over the last just 10 years, you go back 20 years, you'll find even that much more. Then it doesn't make a lot of sense. So what we need to do is to unpack this properly now, to really understand immigration. We've got to think about what's happened here. Why the change of positions? Why this completely contrast an immigration viewpoint? What's taken place? We're missing something here, I'm telling you. Psychologically, we're missing something on the immigration front. I don't know what it is. Something's happened. Obviously, it may be an illegal alien force has landed in these people's brains. I don't know. Something has clearly happened, people. Because there's no way you can be saying these comments just 10 years ago or less And all of a sudden today, I'm in a completely different position. It makes no sense at all. You know, and then, of course, we talk about that Statue of Liberty, as Chuck Schumer brings out, should read the poem. Of course, it's all just an asphyxiation of their brains that are, that they're out maybe too much in the sun. Something has happened here, people, because he knows, Chucky knows that that poem on the Statue of Liberty is not representative of why the statue was there to begin with. Everybody should know that by now. The statue has been hijacked, people. It's symbolic. It doesn't mean anything. What does it mean anymore? It's been hijacked by forces that put that poem on there to try to change the future of America. That's what that's going to do. It's going to change the future of what America looks like. And one of the interesting responses to a tweet I must read from you from Grumpy White Man. That's the name of his Twitter. You've got to love these handles here. You know, he says, I keep seeing simpletons quoting the Statue of Liberty poem, trying to justify illegal immigration. Well, of course, Grumpy White Man is correct. Now, think about what I say to you here now. This is interesting. Why do you think we put Ellis Island next door to Lady Liberty? Because we expect the tired, the poor, the huddled masses to come in legally. Hashtag build the damn wall. Well, you can see Grumpy White Man is being grumpy, but being accurate and truthful as well. And isn't that interesting? That got me thinking about Ellis Island being next door to Lady Liberty. And I've never heard it put that way before. But doesn't that give you pause a moment to think the fact that, you know, think about it. It's not 1,000 miles away. It's not 500 miles away. It's not even 25 miles away. It's right next door to Lady Liberty, Ellis Island, coming legally. That was a profound tweet to me. And then, of course, hashtag build the damn wall. Of course, it's going to take more than a wall at this point, people. It's going to take the will. It's going to take not only the will of the American people, but the will of the American people to convince Congress, because Congress has no will to fix immigration. They are clearly using this for posturing for future elections and political points. And unless, again, illegal alien forces have transposed their brains in some way.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Welcome on here, Dr. Steven Steinlein, a senior policy analyst at the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C. Those clips I played up front, what has happened, in your opinion, as you study this now, this topic, what's happened in the mindset and in our country just over the past 10 years, Stephen, that have changed the mindset of so radical thinking people now, and they're thinking they used to be common sense. What happened?
Obama's own director of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, came out with a statement just the other day, and he said what Congress is talking about in terms of open borders, in effect, these are his words, unworkable, unwise, and does not have the support of the majority of the American people. And if we had such a policy, instead of 100,000 apprehensions a month, it will be multiples of that. So here you've got Obama's own director of Homeland Security. I think, you know, Malcolm, it's always one of these things, and one hates to take in more and more territory, but there's really no other way. Mm-hmm. This problem goes back, I would say, really to the great change in immigration policy in 1965. And what we've seen is the consequences of that and the acceleration of the consequences of that. and the politicization of the opportunities that political people have seen and people who can make money on this system have seen to take this system, which unwise, unsound, to weaponize it in their own on their own behalf. In 1965, we changed our immigration policy. Now, part of the changes were good. I mean, we decided, you know, the immigration policy was, in some respects, bigoted. It was hostile towards people from Southern Europe, from Eastern Europe, to Jews and others. The idea was, let's get rid of those things. No argument there. That was a good thing. But it made only one thing the engine of our system, and that was extended family reunification. And in terms of the numbers, and I may have said this before, maybe months and months ago when we first started chatting, but I think people need to hear this because it's just so astounding.
Okay.
You know, most people who study how long human beings have been on the planet or on North America, most people in those relevant fields, you know, paleontologists and geographers, they believe that people have been in North America for about 13,000 years. And that goes back to when, you know, the Pleistocene Ice Age, when the Bering Sea didn't exist and there was a land bridge from Asia. And when the first hunters crossed that land bridge in search of game, that's when the first people came to North America. Now, 13,000 years is a huge swath of time. It's almost, you know, it's very hard. It's incomprehensible to think about it. Here's the thing that's going to, I think, blow people's minds. You have to understand that one third of all the people who are here now came as a consequence of a bill passed in 1965. 13,000 years and a piece of legislation, ill-conceived, ends up producing a population explosion that gives us one third of all the people we are in that period of time.
Wow.
I don't know. You've got to really think. You've got to sit back and let that sink into your head. That's what happened. We ended up saying, extended family reunification. We started out with one person. We ended up with whole villages of people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as these numbers built up and built up and built up, you know, what happened? Well, you know, politicians had to start, they started noticing. And, you know, rather than do what we would all think would be the reasonable thing, there were only, by the way, one or two moments when that happened, once under President Eisenhower. But for the most part, what politicians did is they granted amnesties to the people came in, and it started the biggest.
Without ever fixing the problem,
with no addition of enforcement. The biggest one, by the way, was under President Reagan. It was IRCA. 3.5 million people were basically declared okay. It's fine. You came in illegally, but who cares? We have had eight amnesties in this period. So, you know what? If you're, we have sent a message to people who want to come here.
That's it.
Hey, the gate's open. It's easy. It's no problem. We don't really deport much. We don't deport anybody.
Okay.
All the figures during the Obama era, the Great Deporter, complete lies and nonsense. Right. What they did is they conflated the figure of people caught and released on the border, and they called those deportations. Okay. In fact, deportation fell by something like 42% when he was president. We've abandoned the rule of law.
Well, we have. You mentioned the word weaponization. That is a good word to use here a moment here. And let me say, with everything you just lay out there, Stephen, it's very clear the political class have a game plan here. Let's call this what it is now a moment here, please, okay? Because you just put out a compelling case of how screwed up this has been for so long. Even though they want to blame it on Trump right now, this thing is far from Trump's problem. This has been coming on for our lifetimes.
He's actually tried to, he's the only one we've seen in a very long time who's tried to repair it.
Right, right. Well, we know that, right, he certainly has a lot of backbone, let's call it, to his thinking, and he's not afraid to step into a dark room and begin to turn the lights on. Of course, when you do that, Steve, when you have to remember the cockroaches run fast. And you never know what direction they're running in. Maybe that's the point. They're all confused. But let's bring back to that weaponization word a moment, because that is a good word to use here. All right. You just lay out the case there. So let's, in very simple terms, I want people to understand what we're really talking about here. If we can all agree that the political leaders across the spectrum now have weaponized this immigration, our immigration policies to our country, then, Stephen, what is the, you tell me, are we talking just political votes here, or what is the real motive, or hey, let me just say also this, is it to really keep the American public really dumb and stupid? Is it so that they, I'm asking a reasonable question, what's the motive of the, I'm talking political class here now, I'm talking left, right, and center across the spectrum, what is the ultimate motive of the political class and immigration?
When you talked about distraction, mm-hmm. Boy, that's a powerful word. I mean, they have come up with one game of political distraction after another to keep us off, to see what's as it were, what's really happening. And look, it's quite clear mm-hmm. that the Democratic Party sees immigration, particularly from Central America, Mexico before, and by the way, Mexican immigration hasn't stopped. But the big game.
But it is down. It is down, though, Stephen.
Mexico. Oh, it's down. It's down because the economy is. But you know what? When the economy goes south, they'll be back. The game is, they figured out. Mm-hmm. Look, they're looking for votes. They want to become the permanent majority party across the aisle. You know, the Republican leadership hasn't been much better on this issue.
That's right.
Because they've wanted to supply what they call, you know, cheap labor to their employer friends. Now, that cheap, by the way, is to the employer. It's not cheap to us.
Right.
Because cheap for the American people, we've got to pay Social Security. We've got to pay for health care costs.
Right.
We have to build more and more schools for kids, families who came into the country. And if I could just add a point, Malcolm, you know, when you talk about that Emma Lazarus poem, at the foot of the Statue of Liberty, mm-hmm. let's locate this thing as it ought to be located. People forget historical context. Mm-hmm. Immigration, and I'm just going to come out and say this, very important. Immigration is not an absolute good. It's not an end in itself. You know, we can say justice is, compassion is. Those are absolute goods. Immigration is simply a social policy. And like all social policies, the way we judge its value is whether it is good for the national interest. And by national interest, I mean for the greatest number of the American people and for legal residents. Mm-hmm. Real simple. And when that statue, when that message was put up there, this was a very, it's not that the immigrants have changed so much. This is a very important point. Immigrants are still pretty much who they always were. Okay, now they're coming from Central America. Back in the 1840s, they came from Ireland. In the 1880s, they came from Poland or Russia or Italy. But immigrants were always pretty much the same. Poor, but not the poorest of the poor. They are looking for more opportunity. But the difference is America. And people don't get this. The people who came when Emma Lazarus' poem went up there, we still had an empty continent to fill. We had a huge in manufacturing sector that had jobs aplenty to give people a handle up, to move up sociologically and economically, to get out of the bottom and move up into the middle class. We had we needed millions of small farmers. Well, that America is gone.
We were
forever.
A different country then. That's right. That's a great point, Stephen. We were a different country then. And a lot of people also don't realize, Stephen, that Lazarus's poem was a fundraising campaign.
Sure, sure. It's like you've got to combine compassion with common sense. And when you make the point about a very powerful point from that grumpy old white man, I guess I'm I'm a grumpy, getting to the old white man. And by the way, I'm not ashamed of being white, even though since I'm Jewish, 40 years
ago. You don't have that white privilege problem.
I wouldn't have been white. I only got it 40 years ago. I wouldn't have been white. So white is just a social construct. And let's get off that one. But, you know, first of all, it's a lousy poem, but that's besides the point.
Yeah.
You know, do we really want the wretched refuse? We've got a lot of wretched refuse here already. But again, the point is, you say, well, what's different now?
That's right.
Is it the immigrants or is it the country? And it's really, it's the country, but there's also an added piece. And let me add it just quickly, Malcolm, and hand it back to you. And that is, why are we seeing, you know, this tremendous, maybe the biggest sort of fact going on in the world right now, you touched on it in the beginning, is this global migration from the global south, poorer countries, more anarchic countries, moving inexorably to the global north. We're watching European countries being inundated. They're taking different approaches to it, some very harsh. You know, some are committing suicide in the way that we've been doing it, and people coming from the global south and into this country. And one of the reasons that they're doing it is that, and you know, you can say it's a good thing, but that the even though people around the world have very, very, very low incomes, though the level of those incomes has risen sufficiently for people to make the journey. People who would never have made it before are now making that journey. And we apparently, this is a research thing that just came out the other day, there are 42 million people in Central and South America who want to come here. And they're close enough, and they have the means, and they have the means to come. And the question simply is, you know, do you want it? I mean, what we project the future ahead. We go into the future, we could see that by the end, say, of this century, we would have well over half a billion people, a 56% increase in our population. I mean, is this something we want? And the answer is, and we know from all the data, that the American people don't want it. But meanwhile, we've got a Congress, as you said,
right.
They have their own interests, and they're not listening to us.
No, they're not listening at all. No, there's a disconnect completely. And, you know, sadly, the American people are not demanding of Congress what we should be demanding, which is to fix this problem. This is totally a congressional problem. That's singularly who can fix this problem is Congress. The laws are unbelievable. I mean, they're so arcane. They're beyond the imagination, like this chain migration stuff you were talking about earlier, really. And all of these policies that are in play right now, or the lottery, for instance, Stephen, there are so many crazy policies we have in this country. I think the only conclusion people you can pull from that Stephen points out, is that clearly these people are the political class, they're high on power.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
So as I promise and I talk about the really very simple chart, you can get it as well. Just go to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, the website. It's very, very easy to find people. And the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is what we're talking about here. Now, listen to these numbers. This is on the southwest border now. We're talking about a family unit. And as you know full well, a family unit can be, my golly, that can be from 2 to 20. I mean, a family unit, their apprehensions, so you multiply these numbers up. These are family units now. So let me give you some numbers, everybody, to keep this in context. The crisis that everybody said did not exist to what we have right now. And we're talking, there are 2 points I want to give you here, two data points from the dates, May 2018 and May 2019. So you have 1 year apart, and this is right on the Homeland Security site. Listen to these numbers, Stephen. Big Bend in 2018 was 543, 1,600 apprehensions now. Del Rio, 1,509 precisely in 2018, 17,112 in May of 2019. El Centro, 1,600, 7,100. El Paso, 4,700. Listen to this, 104,000. 131. That's over a 2,000% jump up, escalation of these apprehensions at the border. Rio Grande, 36,700 back in 2018, 135,000 in 2019. And you can go right down the list here. In Yuma, 8,700, Arizona, Tucson, it doesn't matter where you go, San Diego. The numbers are staggering. So how could these politicians, Stephen, get on cameras and microphones and lie, out and outright lie to the, because they had access to all this information, and they lied straight face to the American people and to their constituents and the rest of the country and said there is no crisis here. And the media lied, and they all lied. How can they do that?
Yeah, well, that's who they are. That's who they are. And it's a game which it is in essence a conspiracy, and when I say a conspiracy, I don't mean they're all sitting in a crowded, you know, in a room somewhere plotting, but their mindset is the same. So it might as well be a conspiracy. I mean, you cited, I think there were 8 or 10 major statements in the media, ranging from, you know, TV stuff to CNN to the New York Times, all saying nothing was going on. Okay, dismissing the idea that there was a crisis. Now, you know, in terms,
Stephen, what do you think the media gets out of this? Talk about that one moment, please, before we lose that point. Help me understand. I mean, I understand they have a left mindset, or they prefer the Democrat Party. I mean, I get that. But what else do they have to gain by throwing the country in the rubbish? I mean, these executives have got to know what they're doing. What is the game plan?
I couldn't agree more, Malcolm. And I think there are two factors. I mean, okay. Number one, you're absolutely right. They are part, you know, I remember when the New York Times was a newspaper.
Wow.
In which there were.
I didn't think you were that old, Stephen.
I am, unfortunately. in which there were news stories and editorials. I even remember to some extent the Washington Post was a paper in which there were news stories and then editorials. Every news story is an editorial. These papers, the Washington Post and New York Times in particular, they're owned by the same people, by the way. And most of the other newspapers of record, with the sole exception of the Wall Street Journal. I urge people to read the Wall Street Journal if you want to stay sane. And by the way, they have people who, you know, they have a range of people, different opinions. You know, they have Bill Galston, who's a very smart guy on the left, but who's not a liar. What they've done is they have an ideological agenda. And there's no point in pretending otherwise. Their agenda is to push the country radically to the left. And they are these newspapers are essentially Izvestia. These are political rags that are propaganda sheets. And you look at what they cover, what they don't choose to cover. They know, for example, that the American people are very kind and very decent.
Right.
And they get very alarmed about things that look, you know, emotionally or morally troubling. So remember the way they cranked up the family separation issue. It was all you read about.
That's right.
Now the situation in the detention centers. It's lousy, and the stuff in Clint, Texas, you know, it's scandalous. But let's remember the problem. The problem wasn't caused by ICE or the Border and Customs Patrol people. There was no budget. And back in March, then DHS Secretary Nielsen appeared before the House and Senate, and I remember those hearings. She essentially was in tears and begged them. She said, this is not a matter of politics. There's a humanitarian crisis on the border. There's a national security crisis. But she said, we've got kids, we've got families. We don't have the facilities to take care of them. And she begged for support. And then she was basically laughed at. That was in March. So here we are in July, and now they all come down, and they're so horrified by the conditions, and they all get their pictures taken, and they all come back with stories. By the way, many of the stories are, you know, the drinking out of the toilets. These are apocryphal stories. But again, they're meant to make the American people feel awful. And part of it is, you know, these people start out with the supposition. I'm talking now about the political class, about the left wing and the Democratic Party. You know, it's like, for them, the worse the better.
It's a misinformation campaign, totally. Misinformation, yeah.
And basically, it's designed to cohere with their image of America as a vicious, exploitative, monstrous state, you know, that's dedicated to white power and paternalism. And, you know, in a way, the tragedy of this massive immigration, not only is it coming at a time where we can get into this discussion, when the one thing if you read the people are talking about where the future is going to be going in terms of employment and work, we in fact are going to be needing fewer and fewer workers, not more and more.
Right.
But
these people we're talking about right now, Stephen, you know what I think about as well? Like, all right, so the same people you're pointing out right now, I wonder, like 50 years from now, or less than that, maybe 25 years from now, it doesn't even have to be 50. But I understand, like, how intellectual, what's the brain cells of these people? Now, I understand what you've spelled out, that they are pushing the country, or their goal, that even the media outlets and all these people, they want to push the country to the left, to the left, to the left. There's a breaking point here. And what I'm wondering is, with that breaking point, do these people wake up at a future time when we've crossed the boundaries of that breaking point and we've gone beyond the breaking point, and now this country is in the total sewer? I mean, it's total. We are a third world entity. We're talking total chaos here now.
That's right.
The pitches, they freak me out. They send.
We'll become a third world country. 100%.
They send shivers down my spine here as I think about this and say this to you. But so what are these people? Think about a moment now. You and I can figure this out. If we wake up, those people, when they wake up those mornings, what do you think they say to themselves? Do they pat themselves on the back and say, wow, what a job well done? Or do they pat themselves on the back and say, oh my golly, we went too far, we really screwed up, when, you know, things are in at their home front or at their door in their neighborhoods? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean,
of course, Malcolm, I get it. And you know, the assumption that you're making, and that we would all like to make,
right?
Is that the members of the political class are wise, are decent,
right,
and think long term,
right,
and care about the American,
right,
people, and yes, and care about immigrants too. But in fact, they can't think beyond the next election cycle. That's all they're thinking about. Who's going to control Congress? Who's going to take over? Who's in the game? Who's out of the game? They think in narrow, they have
so, Stephen, if that's the case, then we're talking about what we're really talking about here. And I'm serious when I say this. These people then are not really, they're not intellectual. They're not bright. They've got, Stephen, what you describe right now, these people have to be stupid. I mean, they can't
right.
be, this can't be the brightest of the bright. Come on, buddy. There's
no
way.
I don't care how many languages Mr. Buttigieg speaks, or whether he's a Rhodes Scholar. I was a Marshall Scholar. It's the same thing. You know what? You can have a lot of degrees and you're going to be a total moron.
Exactly.
I think they absolutely, you know, they don't lack the wisdom of the great majority of the American people. There's a big difference between having degrees and having some wisdom.
That's
and
right.
think about, you know, you're talking about down the road. I mean, look at these insane proposals that are part. I mean, you watch the Democratic candidates standing on the stage, raising their hands to provide medical insurance to illegal aliens, this green plan at, what was it, $73 trillion? These are like, it's sort of like listening in either to a bunch of kids in a primary school or a lunatic asylum.
I mean, they've got to be out of their flipping minds. Something is not, there's a disconnect somewhere. And we understand the votes and we understand the mechanism. But at some point, people, we've crossed the line. In fact, there was a, I seen a tweet the other day, Stephen, that was put out by Fair Immigration. Fair Immigration, right? It's very well. It says, all Americans can agree. The border crisis has reached an absolute breaking point. When will congressional leadership wake up and do something about it? Hashtag border breaking point. Now, the key question, Stephen, and everything we're talking about today, you see, is this. And here's the message people need to take from this program today. And let's just make sure we have a message, okay? That we don't just rant about nothing here. And what he says there, right there, what that Fear of Immigration tweet is, congressional leadership. You have to vote to get the right people in office, because this problem, this catastrophe, this nightmare, this changing of America cannot be fixed, Stephen, without Congress. It cannot be fixed.
That's correct. I mean, look, you know, presidential executive orders are null and void after when the next president.
They only go so far. They only go so far, right?
So, you know, it's just not the way. It's
Congress leadership. Well, they say it right there.
Our founding fathers were right. You know, the problem is what Congress has become. You know, I mean,
well, that's it. But I just need people to understand, Stephen, that it matters who you're voting for and it matters who's up there, and nothing is going to matter more. And I'm not just talking about an election. And I don't like it when people say, Stephen, and I don't want to hear this, and I don't want to hear it on my program. People say, oh, the next election is the most important election of your lifetime. Just shut up and don't say that to me, anybody, please, again, in my lifetime. That's been said to me every election throughout my life. I've heard those words. And in other words, every damn election's important, and they're going to be important from now on out. And these next many elections are going to be key if we can't fix the problem here. But again, they're using the words here, hashtag border breaking point. That's Fair Immigration. And the question, I need everybody to please, please, I beg you, to let this question resonate in your minds. Share this question with everybody in your sphere, including your Democrat friends. We all have Democrat friends, so let's not kid ourselves. Share it with them. Share it with your moderate friends. You have those people in your life. We all got them, people. And I need you to invite them to the program here, as I've asked you consistently out there. But when will congressional leadership wake up and do something about it? So that means, people, the answer to that question is, you've got to get the right congressional leadership. Now, I'm not talking about just right-wing wackadoos either, Stephen. I'm not talking about right-wing wackadoos.
They're counterproductive. They hurt our cause.
Exactly. So I'm not talking about that, Stephen. You know what? I just want people to say we're not having an extremist conversation here. We're having a real conversation here. So listen, ABC News reports last month, I want to read this to you, and this is just a new report, this just a few weeks ago here. In a report out, the Homeland Security Inspector General has found dangerous overcrowding, like duh, and unsanitary conditions at a Customs and Border Protection facility in El Paso, Texas, where hundreds more migrants were being housed than the center was designed to hold. Now, this is the same ABC News reports who'd been denying everything and spreading rubbish out there and lying to the American people, which pisses me off. And then they run this current thing. Well,
because now they can use it as a weapon against the president again.
That's it.
You know, the president was lying. That's the first one. And now everything's so terrible because of the president.
And I just need to point that out, Stephen, because they, in a quote here, they say, listen to this, Stephen, Border Patrol agents told us some of the detainees had been held in standard room only conditions for days or weeks. They don't have the facilities. I just shared those numbers with you all. There are not the facilities to handle this, and the political leaders know it. For instance, there was another story here, the El Paso del Norte Processing Center housed, listen to this, 900 migrant detainees for a center that has the capacity of 125. Now, if you can only fit 125 as your capacity, and you got 900 in there, I got news for you, Stephen. They're hanging off the rafters and the fans. There are no fans in there, I'm sure, but they'd be hanging off the ceilings. There's nowhere to fit them except on top of each other. That's what you call a room of sardines. And CNN broke that news. But these are the same media people who said there was no crisis, no problem. I got to tell you what, it is so wrong. It is so egregious. It is so foul against America that these media outlets consider to that they can continually call themselves the Fourth Estate or the media of freedom. I'll tell you what, Stephen, I cannot, again, comprehend how this goes on in this country today and how people partake in these media outlets. Or where's the lack of intelligence? I cannot, honest to God, wrap my mind around how unintelligent this conversation is and these people are from what should be so obvious. I don't
where,
get it.
You know, where were they? We all agree that, A, the borders are out of control, and we all agree that it's barbaric and inhuman that people are being housed like this. None of us are supportive of this. And the situation with kids, it's awful.
It's disgusting.
You know the very people, you know, the AOCs and the Omars and all of they refused to vote the $4.6 billion to fix this. Because they didn't like the fact that there were some enforcement provisions. I mean, if we don't enforce it, don't they understand? If, you know, we had a wall, this wouldn't have happened. If we had a wall, this wouldn't have happened. Also, do we really want to end up being a country that ends up running vast detention facilities for you know, migrant populations? I mean, every way you look at this, it's crazy.
And you just mentioned AOC a moment ago, which I always despise having to talk about her. And I don't talk about her much at all because I find her such an evil force for our minds. But as we're on this, you know, this accusation of concentration camps and drinking out of toilets and all this nonsense that's been put out there, which, by the way, Customs come out and they have not only rebuked all of that, but has shown evidence to the contrary. This lady obviously is an evil force who has made up some really evil plans. What she's trying to do is change what percentage of the public. She's trying to, you know, here's what I would say to you all. She's trying to find the lowest possible denominator of American. I don't know how else to tell you. She's trying to find people that are dumber than rocks. That's what she's trying. I mean, I can only put out what the truth is, people. AOC's game plan is to find the lowest possible denominator in our country. What we're talking about is Americans who are dumber than rocks. And she's trying to find those people, Stephen, and she's trying to convince them because that's what you call trying to swing people to your way of thinking. She says the GOP's grand plan to make America great again is to hurt children, immigrants, refugees, and to think that America isn't great, that it's cruel and inhumane, so people don't come at all. But America isn't America at all without immigrants. To turn them away is un-American. This lady has got to be the biggest farce there ever has been for a congressional person. Do you think, in your honest-to-honest wisdom of thought process here, Stephen, do you even think this lady, I mean, we know she lacks brain cells, but I'm curious, do you think she gets by in the next election? Do her constituents put her back in office with her popularity because she's become very popular, or does she have a one term and then an exodus? What happens to her, do you think?
Malcolm, it's I wish I could say in a flash she's gone, but you know.
But you're not sure. Yeah,
this is celebrity status, and she's a good looking young woman, and I remember good old Anthony Weiner. Congressman who exposed himself to underage females.
Do we have to remember?
I don't want to talk about him too much. By the way, he was a student of mine in English 101 many years ago. Anyway, so he wasn't the brightest light on the tree then either. Right. But I remember when they were interviewing constituents of his when this scandal broke, and they were saying things like, well, yeah, I guess he's a pervert. But, you know, I sort of like his ideas, and I'm thinking, does character, well, first of all, AOC's ideas are crackers, but does character not count for anything? Mm-hmm. You really want to elect someone who's a deviant? I mean, this woman is a liar. By the way, none of the things that she says she's being scripted by much smarter people. I mean, they can't be that much smarter, of course, because a lot of what she says is frighteningly stupid. Mm-hmm. But she's a tool. She's a tool. She is on the far left of the far left.
And they're convincing people, though, Stephen. She obviously is making an impact. Let me read you these. Listen to this. I want to tell you here. If you ever want to get the real beat of what's going on out there, again, I think you go to social media. If you just go to Twitter and you type in immigration in the subject line,
it's too depressing.
You'll get all kinds of things. Well, but no, you'll get both the pros and the cons. You'll get the people who understand it, who maybe have some intellectual value, and then you'll get the dumb as rocks. I want to read you a couple of dumb as rocks messages.
By the way,
here.
They control the comment line in the Washington Post.
Right.
Boy, all dumb as rocks. Every once in a while I weigh in, but it's kind of pointless.
Right. No, I hear you. Well, Cameron, a tweet puts out here, today, 30,000 refugees and migrants, including more than 2,000 children, are being held in immigration prison camps, mm-hmm. while 2.3 million others are sitting behind bars as prisoners of the American criminal justice system. Enjoy the fireworks. That was message to him. I love that tweet because it's so off base. And then they end it, Stephen, with, and by the way, enjoy the fireworks, America. Happy for it. You know, you just got to love the sarcasm of this. And now let me read you this one from Ryan. Says, happy Independence Day to the country created by immigrants, for immigrants, in search of freedoms. Just because our leaders have forgotten, that doesn't mean we will. Hear that? ?? If you are white, you are an immigrant on this land. Your ancestors came here, more likely illegally, and stole land from the natives they mistreated and abused.
I love this notion they came illegally. Okay.
You have no right to discriminate against immigrants. Immigration is why you're here. So what I'm talking about here, there's a massive misinformation campaign out about immigration, Stephen. People are confused.
It's not just Malcolm, but you know what I would say, and this is not to disagree. It's just to put it in a context. What there is a massive disinformation campaign about America. These are people who hate America, and they want, in their own way, in their own philosophies, whether they're extreme identity politics people or people who divide everything up into race and people who have nothing but grievances and grudges and are constantly apologizing for this country. The tragedy is, you know, there was a time when immigrants came. I'm a first generation American. My father came through Ellis Island. He didn't have a dime and he didn't speak a word of English. 5 years later, he was a tennis star at the University of Alabama, okay? But we did something then that we don't do anymore. You see, we were proud of America. We did something called Americanization. Immigrants took civics classes. They learned English. They were taught American history that emphasized the great values that this country's had, not, you know, the dark moments. No, I don't want to. I'm not standing, you know, out here wanting to excuse slavery or anything else. Every country has its dark moments and its great moments. I can't think of a greater country in the world than this one. And their agenda is, and of course, you know, I think the end of AOC's thing and Tlaib and all these other horrible people is that this is the road. What this is all part of is the road to fascism, that they're going to create these concentration camps at just the beginning of the fascist takeover by our authoritarian leader. And I love this. I can't think, you know, President Trump has had policy after policy after policy stymied by a liberal judiciary all over the country, district judges, you know, who got elected by I don't know who, where, and they have not. This is something we've got to change about our judiciary system. They can simply enjoin the president's actions. And by the way, on not a single occasion has the president tried to step over them. This president obeys the law. I mean, I don't know where this authoritarian crap came from, mm-hmm. or to give you one more example, because it's so crazy. You know, on the 4th of July, you know, which was really in many respects in Washington, a tribute to the American military, and my God, do we have, you know, I can't begin to say how much we owe them and That's continue right. to owe them every single day. Mm-hmm. There were two tanks, okay? Two tanks. Mm-hmm. Professor Lawrence Tribe of Harvard Law School, who I used to think of as a pretty smart guy, said, this was just like Tiananmen Square, yeah. okay? This is how stupid people have made themselves. I don't understand why being stupid has become somehow a status to be sought.
Well, repeat but after me, dumb as rocks.
Yeah, Professor Lawrence Tribe is dumb as a rock, okay? The construction workers across the road yeah. from are 10 times smarter than he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephen, it's we can't really, it's as I said earlier to you, it's about impossible to rationalize the irrational. And the conversation is so extreme. You know, I want to read you this quote it's an interesting quote to end thoughts on with everybody here. It's from John F. Kennedy. And he said this: immigration policy should be generous. It should be fair. It should be flexible. With such a policy, we can turn to the world and to our own past with clean hands and a clear conscience. John F. Kennedy. Boy, have they strayed far from that message, people, I have to tell you. You can't wrap your mind around most of this conversation. And I'm afraid that the immigration conversation is so out of context, I'm afraid that people are turning it off. I'm afraid they're no longer paying attention. And that is the problem. When we get to that point in the country, we are officially at the breaking point. Now, Fair Immigration, that tweet they put out, when will congressional leadership wake up and do something about it? You heard Dr. Stephen Steinleit and Malcolm say, we are at the border breaking point. Congress, leadership, that's how we fix it. There's only one road in to fix this thing, people, and it's Congress. That is the law. That's the Constitution. Executive orders are not going to get it done, and neither are any single one of us. Only as a collective group can we begin to change this. There's a lot to the story of immigration and the changing of a country. I am in fear for our future generations now. When we do wake up, just I'm afraid it's as soon as 20 years from now, and we see where the country is at and how much we've changed. I'm in fear of that, people. I'm in fear of what might happen next. And I think to try to be rational about this conversation, we've all got to understand it's been hijacked. We pointed it out on this program today with Dr. Steinleit. Always appreciate having on here and being able to shine some light on a difficult topic. And a difficult topic that is, you know, can be difficult to put light on. But it's one we need to put light on, people. We need to speak truth, as they say, to power, right? Power to truth, truth to power. It's time to get to the point, people. It's what I say. It's time to get involved and get loud.